everyone, welcome back to The Current. I'm so thrilled to be sitting across from Amy. Amy Piper is a beautiful being that joined Sam and I's human design training. And I was really drawn to Amy's energy before I found out that she was also born in Michigan, several days before me, a fellow Aries. But Amy, your energy is so angelic, and it doesn't surprise me at all that you found your way into healing, first through speech pathology, and most recently, you work with EFT, which is, for those who don't know, it's all about tapping different points of your body and repeating affirmations for body-based healing. And I invited Amy on to The Current today because I am really curious, as a soon-to-be therapist, about this modality, about somatic-based healing. I think there's a lot of curiosity in our culture right now about how can we tap into the body for greater healing, where perhaps talk therapy isn't the full picture of what's possible. Mm-hmm. So Amy, I'd love for you just to start by introducing yourself and how you found your way into EFT work.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I found EFT, which stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, probably over 15 years ago. And I was living in Michigan at the time. And I credit EFT for really helping me get clear on some things and also getting me out here to Los Angeles, which is where I live now. But I found it, I kind of stumbled upon the technique myself. I was working as a speech pathologist. But I was looking for just some healing work for myself and found a practitioner and really didn't know what I was doing or what it was called, but it worked so quickly for me, like really within a couple sessions to clear something I'd been carrying that I thought, you know, I need to learn this. I need to learn this and I want to share this with people because it felt like you could drop things very quickly. I guess I'll put it that way, that it didn't take a long time. So that's really where it began. And then I was a client for several years and then got trained out here in California. And then I was trained to become a trainer. So I just really love it. I think it's an amazing modality.
It's really cool. I actually have never done EFT before. And I've seen videos, I've watched a documentary in which EFT was part of it. But I'd love for folks who aren't familiar with the technique for you to just walk us through a session.
First off, people usually will come to me with a certain issue, right? And what's funny is oftentimes the thing they come to me to work on isn't actually the thing we end up working on, right? That's how it is. So they will come with a certain issue. It could be a health problem. Maybe chronic illness, could be anxiety, a phobia, maybe weight loss. I mean, you name it, depression, really anything. And we first just start by talking. Really, with the first 20 minutes or so, my sessions are 90 minutes. That's pretty typical for EFT. Most practitioners are 90 minutes. So the first part, we're usually just talking and figuring out what is the problem. You know, what are you experiencing? What is the problem here? And then we begin to tap. And a lot of times people don't, when we start tapping on the presenting issue, it just peels back the layers and then we can see what's underneath it. You know, is it really your job that's giving you, that you're upset with? Is it really your career? Is it your boss? Maybe a partner or a spouse. And then we start, but as we peel it back, It usually ends up being something else or sometimes a pattern. And it just helps you get underneath something very quickly. So even if we start tapping generally on a general issue, quickly the body relaxes and the nervous system relaxes and you can access more information. So I'll put it that way.
Yeah, which I think a lot of other modalities do, but this is another pathway into that. Like I can think of psychedelics, which we talk about a lot on the show, as another way of the body relaxing and getting into an issue sort of underneath what the presenting problem is. Yeah. But I love that this is a technique that one does sober, that one can access quite easily. So tell me, when you say tapping, what do you mean?
Oh, yes. So, and just to answer further your last question. So we are tapping throughout the 90 minutes, but we are stopping every few rounds to check in because, for example, let's say something starts as anger and we're tapping on that, that might clear, but there's another emotion underneath it. Maybe sadness, maybe guilt, maybe shame. So then we shift to tap on that. So it's a lot of tapping, then talking. We kind of peel back on that. Emotional freedom techniques, we often refer to it as tapping, but because we are tapping on these very specific acupuncture points. And it's always the same points, and it's always the same sequence. We never skip a point, and it's always the same. So a lot of my clients, actually, once they learn the points, will close their eyes when they're tapping. Tapping, that term can refer to tapping in other modalities. So I do like to specify that EFT, emotional freedom techniques, is a specific type of tapping, right? It's a specific modality. And it follows certain protocols, certain methods, and always includes this series of tapping points. And they're all pretty much from the chest up. So you do tap on yourself. And these tapping points relate to certain organs in the body, certain emotions, and certain meridian pathways. So they were specifically designed with that in mind.
That's very cool. I'd love to actually go through the tapping points, if you wouldn't mind describing them. And I know folks will only be listening, but if they could, would it be easy enough to follow along?
Definitely. I'll call out the points. So we start with the side of the hand, and we call it the karate chop point. So where you would like karate chop something. And people often say, well, can I tap on, does it matter what side I tap on? It doesn't, because some of these meridian points that we're tapping on both sides of the body. So it doesn't matter if you do your right or left hand. So we start there, and we start with the setup statement. So that might look like, let's say someone came for panic attacks. That's a very common thing that people come to for EFT work. So they might say something like, even though I have these, you know, horrific panic attacks and I feel really stuck, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Mm. All right. That's one of the common, we call it setup statements. And then from the karate chop, we go through the tapping round. So we go to the top of the head.
And just for people listening, what do you tap with? Do you tap with the balls of your top three or the middle finger?
I'm using, that's a great question. All four fingers.
All four fingers. Okay. That's helpful.
Yeah. Thank you. And then you go to the top of the head. And again, just using those four fingers. I do like a firm pressure, but you don't need to pound on yourself, but you do want to feel it. And then you go to we call it the eyebrow. So it's the beginning of the eyebrow.
Either side?
Yes. So if you are using I'm using my right hand for everyone. You can also use your left. Then you go to the temple, kind of like the end of the eyebrow, they call it. Then under the eye. So kind of on that like orbital bone there. Mm-hmm. And then you go above the lip, below the lip. And then we do collarbone point. And this is kind of we'll get confused about this. You are on the collarbone. So those little notches, you're tapping on the collarbone, but you're also beneath it. So it's kind of both. It's on and underneath, below.
So a couple fingers below, a couple fingers on the collarbone.
Exactly. And then this next point I'm going to go over, people often skip in other tapping modalities, but it's really important. It's part of the original EFT method. Okay, so I'm a stickler about this one. It's on the rib cage. So it's kind of under like the breast line here on the rib cage. And this is the lung meridian, right? So this is where grief is held, anger. It's really important. I'm tapping with both my hands on this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So both the collarbone and then this one right on the top of the ribs there. I am tapping with both hands. Okay. The next one, we're going to go underneath the armpit. Mm-hmm. So not in it, but right under it. So the side of the body, basically. I'm using one hand.
And is there anything specifically stored there?
Emotional. There's like many, many emotions. A lot of these points are related to change and the ability to change in the body. Mm. The specifics of this one, I believe it's, as far as emotions, I know this is immune system related underneath here. I don't have the specific meridian memorized.
Oh, that's okay. It's just helpful to know when you were talking about the rib cage that there's grief and anger. Because I could almost feel that as you were describing it.
Definitely, definitely. So this side underneath, and then the top, then you move from underneath the armpit to the top of the wrist, the bottom of the wrist. Okay. And then we go back to the top of the head. And we go through it all over again. So that karate chop point that I brought up, that's just the setup statement. It's a very important part of EFT because you're stating the problem. What is the problem for you? Again, as the practitioner, I'm not deciding that. It's the client that's driving the session, and they're going to say, well, this is a problem for me. So really stating it out loud, it's so interesting because many people haven't ever said it out loud or really heard themselves saying it. And so it's a kind of a really pivotal moment in the session of just starting here and just stating the problem. And then we go through the tapping rounds.
Yeah.
We do 2 to 3 rounds and then we stop and take a break.
So Amy, it's so interesting because I was going to wait until the end of the session to do sort of like a practice example based on something I'm moving through, but I'm actually feeling called to bring it in right now for folks who are curious. We don't have to go through all the meridian points, but however you feel like might illustrate. And I'm actually going to share something that I'm really, what is up for me right now in life that I'm working through is that I was in, I know I shared this with you before, Amy, but I went through an accident for those listening when I was 17. And my boyfriend at the time was driving, and it was a lethal car accident. It was really scary and dangerous. And I was okay. But what's been happening for me over the past couple of years is I've been feeling more car vigilance. So in the car, especially on the highway. And I've actually been back in therapy myself. And it's been so interesting because it's been 14 years since this accident. I was 17 when it happened. Mm-hmm. And yet it's only in the past couple of years that my body has really felt activated, driving high speeds. So I've been working with a psychologist and it's been really helpful. We've been doing a lot of grief rituals and talk therapy has been amazing. But I know that my body keeps the score of this experience that I went through. It is so real for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like my mind knows that I'm safe in the car, but somebody cuts in front of us when I'm driving with my partner and I'll gasp, this full body gasp, and it freaks my partner out because he's like, whoa, like you're almost making me swerve more as a result of someone cutting us off. So I wonder if this might be an example of something that someone would come to you with.
Yes, definitely. And great. Great, great one to bring to me. That's perfect. Yes. Definitely. EFT is considered a real heavy hitter in working with trauma. And so the reason is, before we start tapping, is we're dealing with the limbic brain. So people say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we have the neocortex, right? Our rational thinking mind. Then we have the limbic brain, the emotional brain. And then we have the reptilian brain, which is like, you know, controlling hunger, thirst, things like that. So the limbic brain is what we're interested in with EFT. And I love it so much because it is this nonverbal part of the brain. So even though you might say, okay, well, I'm safe, I'm okay, the bad thing already happened, the body is still going in, the mind, the energy system, we'll call it, is going into this response, whether that's fight or flight, a freeze response, a contraction. And so rationally, maybe you've come to terms with it or worked through it in that realm. There's this part of the brain, specifically the amygdala, where the fight or flight is held. And that's what we're really interested in with EFT. So we're interested in tapping down, relaxing the nervous system. You're not going to forget this memory. It happened. It's part of your life. But can we take away that feeling on the road or that expression?
The jumpiness.
And relax that where you can think about it. And, you know, we're not, I always say we're not hypnotizing people. We're just smoothing out this disruption in the nervous system, in the limbic brain, in the energy system. So when you do think about that, obviously it was not a pleasant thing. And it's something that happened to you in your life, of course, but can we think about it without the reaction?
Right.
And that's the whole thing. So this is a perfect example. It was an isolated event. but one that you're still having a this kind of autonomic response, this body response, right?
Yes.
So good. So what we do usually, and I'll just write a few words down. Do you want to go through it right now?
I'd love to, but I'd love to just add, Amy, as you're describing this, that it reminds me also of reparenting yourself in a way.
Yeah.
Because I went through this experience, and what, as I'm processing it now in talk therapy, what I'm realizing is that no one really talked to me about it afterward. Mm-hmm. I didn't have many people or caretakers in my life that sat me down to make sense of something so big and so, you know, to use the T word, traumatic. Like, it really was traumatic. And that word I'm using as something that happened very quickly and very intensely, that your body perhaps didn't have the tools to make sense of. So I wonder if it seems almost as if as you're repeating these affirmations to yourself, it's almost like reparenting oneself to share, like, this is how you can make sense of and smooth the chaos of an experience now.
Yeah, that's so perfectly said. Yeah. I think I may have said this already, but often the person hasn't maybe said it in this way, or sometimes never said it out loud. Now, this is an experience you have talked about, but maybe you said back then, no one really talked to you about it. So we are going back and reparenting. I love that. So many times I'm surprised that I'm the first person this person is telling something to. And while they're tapping, and this is a question I get to, is do you do EFT out loud? And yes, you do. Because it's very important to hear it. And maybe it's the first time this person or anyone has said this thing out loud and really processed maybe the grief, pain, sadness, anger, put in the emotion, right? And there is an important feedback loop there.
Beautiful. So I'm excited. Let's do it.
Great. So we'll start by, I'm just going to ask you a few things. And what I'm doing, since people are listening, I'm writing a few words down. I often have pen in hand because it's very important in EFT work to use the words of your client, of the person. Now, do I add things in? Of course. But words carry power. They carry meaning. And your specific words, Nadia, will carry a certain power, right, and significance. So we often use the client's words, of course, adding into it. So tell me a little bit about the feeling you're having when you get on. Because the problem is when you're driving, you're feeling this fear. Tell me about the feeling you have when you're driving.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. We're doing this right now. I feel like this is so synchronistic because I actually had a therapy session last night where I felt like I gained a lot of sort of prefrontal cortex insight into what's happening. And as I was the passenger in the car accident I was in high school, I think what's happening for me on the road is when someone gets too close to us, someone cuts us off, or we're moving at high speed and I see a car out of our periphery, it's almost like I feel like I need to warn my partner who's driving. And it only happens in the car with him, which is really interesting as well. So it's like another partner. It kind of mimics that situation.
From back then, right?
Exactly. And I think I continue to replay the scenario in those split second moments. And it actually feels almost like an obligation or a duty to warn of like, watch out, like don't. And I think that this is, it's almost as if I'm trying to stop what happened in high school from happening again, from harm happening, either bodily harm to us or bodily harm to someone else as we're moving on at high speeds on the highway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you said you have this vigilance. It's when people are getting too close, high speeds. So either you're driving or he's driving. It's either one.
Just when he's driving.
Oh, I thought it was also when you were driving. I see. So it's always him driving and you have to warn.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's very good. There's I don't think it'd be good for the purposes of the show because you'd have to talk through the whole experience. And I'm not sure that's something you want to share with the audience. But I do want to mention a technique that works really well for isolated incidences. When this is an example of this, right? It wasn't an ongoing pattern. It's called the tell the story technique. And it's this really popular kind of heavy hitter in EFT where you tap while telling the story and you tap at every crescendo of the story. So every point there was this, right, from beginning to end. And you go back the story two or three times, tapping through every spike, every peak of emotion, everything. And by the end, the person can tell the story beginning to end and just be neutral, no spikes in emotion. So it's really powerful. I think for today, for this, we'll just have you do some tapping around it and see how it goes. Yeah. But I wanted to mention that because it's something people can do on their own. Obviously, with a practitioner, it's great. But if you went through something that was scary, like a car accident, you can actually tell the story of what happened out loud and tap on yourself to try to decrease that nervous system.
It's so cool. And I really think that that's a lot of what talk therapy is simply telling your story and having someone hear it. In trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy for children, it's all about writing the chapters of a traumatic event and being able to read it back to your therapist and eventually perhaps a caregiver when it's indicated. But what I love about this for EFT is that it brings the body online.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is what feels so rare here.
It does. It's a nice, they always say it's like modern psychology and acupuncture put together. Because you are speaking out loud, you know, you're using that neocortex, right? Your thinking brain, right? Rational brain, but you're also getting into that limbic brain, the body, the energy system and where things are held. So it's like a pairing of the two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is really amazing. So if we were going to start with this, let's think of a good setup statement for you. What is the feeling, even though I get afraid, even though I get nervous, even though I panic? What's the word when someone gets too close? It's the feeling.
What's an example of a word that I might use here?
Well, I guess it depends on how you feel. Do you feel panicked when it happens or?
Yeah, it does. It feels like panic. It feels like, I guess the word that keeps coming back is like stop or wait or no, like trying to stop something from happening.
Got it. That's good. And it's hard to relax when he's driving then.
Yes. And you know, it's so interesting because I feel relaxed, but it's in those moments that happen infrequently, but happen nonetheless. If somebody, you know, like stopping too soon or merging into our lane unexpectedly, that it felt like I was actually at normal functioning. We're talking, I'm checking my phone, but then all of a sudden I have this outsized bodily response. Mm-hmm. It's almost like somebody that's preparing dinner and somebody comes home and they jump 10 feet out of their skin, you know? It's like there's a jumpiness that I didn't even realize was there.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just say that. So even though I feel this need to warn or to kind of this jumpiness, how about we put that? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start there and we'll just tap through it. We have a little bit of information, right? We don't have like volumes. We're going to start here and then we'll kind of take it and see what else comes up.
Perfect. Right?
So if you had to rate that jumpiness, like, or that feeling, I know you're not having it in this moment, but when it happens from 0 to 10, 10 being the most intense, where is it at on that scale?
I'd give it a 7.
7. Okay. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we're not in the moment, so we're just having to kind of tune into how you feel when that happens. All right. Let's start again. So we're going to start with the side of the hand, that karate chop point.
Cool. And if folks want to follow along with us, feel free.
Yes, you can definitely speak out loud. There's a group benefit to collective tapping, a collective benefit. And it's really wonderful. So you can say, even though I feel this jumpiness. When my partner's driving.
Mm-hmm. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And I'm going to give an alternative. For listeners, it's even though I feel this jumpiness when my partner's driving.
Mm-hmm. I want to come to a calm and peaceful place about this.
Good. Top of the head. It usually happens. Mm-hmm.
When we're at high speeds.
Good. Going to the next point. Good. Yeah.
Which is eyebrow for those.
Eyebrow. Spotting. Yeah. When people get too close to us. Go to the temple. So every time I shift words, I'm usually shifting a tapping point for the listeners. Okay. Then we're going to go under the eye. This duty to warn. Mm-hmm.
Stop what might happen.
Good. And it's hard to relax under the lip.
It's hard to relax.
Yeah. Collarbone, this jumpiness.
This jumpiness.
Mm-hmm. Especially when people are too close to us. Ribcage.
Especially when people are too close to us.
Yeah. Okay, under the armpit, this vigilance.
This vigilance.
Mm-hmm. Top of the wrist to stop what happened.
To stop what happened.
Mm-hmm. Under the wrist, way back then.
Way back then.
Mm-hmm. All right, top of the head. I remember what happened.
I remember what happened.
And I am right back there when we're on the expressway.
And I'm right back there when we're on the expressway.
And I feel the need to stop.
Feel the need to stop.
Mm-hmm. This thing that actually already happened.
This thing that actually already happened.
Mm-hmm. This duty to warn him.
This duty to warn him.
To prevent that from happening again.
To prevent that from happening again.
It was horrific.
It was horrific.
Mm-hmm. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm not sure if that's true.
I remember it like it was yesterday, yeah.
I have to stay alert when he's driving.
I have to stay alert when he's driving.
I have to stay vigilant.
I have to stay vigilant.
Mm-hmm. This jumpiness.
This jumpiness.
This need to shout out, no.
This need to shout out, no.
Stop.
Stop.
Yeah. Especially when people get too close.
Especially when people get too close.
I'm trying to prevent something from happening.
I'm trying to prevent something from happening.
This bad thing that already happened.
This bad thing that already happened.
And a part of me is terrified it could happen again.
Part of me is terrified it could happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to relax.
It's hard to relax.
I have to stay vigilant.
I have to stay vigilant.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to be able to relax.
I'd love to be able to relax.
And trust that I'm okay.
And trust that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. But this desire to prevent what happened.
This desire to prevent what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To prevent another bad thing from happening.
To prevent another bad thing from happening.
Mm-hmm. It makes me feel in control when I do that. It
makes me feel in control when I do that.
Where I'm trying to stay in control.
I'm trying to stay in control.
By being vigilant.
By being vigilant.
Always watching.
Always watching.
This hypervigilance.
This hypervigilance.
Trying to stop the bad thing from happening again.
Trying to stop the bad thing from happening again.
Let's just pause for a second. So just for the listeners, I'm having her stop and tap on her collarbone. This is a real relaxing point. So between rounds, sometimes I'll just have the person, the client, tap on the collarbone and we'll check in. How are you feeling?
This feels great. I feel like this really does illustrate this modality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because as I'm tapping, it really feels like a meditative state. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it is, but it's like I'm opening up so much more capacity to experience what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's a similar feeling that I get when I'm sitting in meditation, or I actually just did a singing meditation before we hopped onto this interview today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'm like receiving more information, but it's not from the mind. It's hard to describe. It's like it feels much more, it's like I feel this like pouring in of light and information, mm-hmm. but it's much more grounded and safe and peaceful.
One of the things that's so beautiful about EFT is that we're bringing up painful things, but we're doing it in a contained way by keeping the body, the energy system, the brain, right, in a more relaxed state. It reduces cortisol very quickly, just within 10 minutes of tapping. I know within 30 minutes, it's close to 50% reduction in cortisol. Really amazing. So you're bringing up very difficult things, very emotional things, triggering things, but you're doing it in this safe way where we're trying to keep everything down, right? The nervous system, all those responses. So it can feel safer in that container. That makes sense.
Totally. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful, and I can see it for things that cause panic and stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how EFT works for folks experiencing depressive symptoms, like really feeling low.
That is a great question. I definitely get a lot of people with that, struggling with that, you know, differently than the anxiety piece, right? It's more of the low mood. And what I'm interested in when someone comes to me with that is what's underneath it, right? Why is this pervasive sadness? you know, we're kind of on, we always say we're on an expedition with EFT. I don't know either. So when they're sitting there in front of me, it's like, here we go. Let's just figure this out together. And what's so beautiful is even when I, you know, when I was a beginner, I would think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, I don't know what to do with this person. I don't have to. The tool does the work. And obviously, you know, my own intuition and guiding the session is great to have, but just the tool of EFT is so beautiful at peeling back the layers to expose. So with depression, when did this begin? And when was the first time you felt this way? Right. I usually don't ask that right out the gate. We first just do some tapping. You know, even if all they can tell me is I'm so depressed and it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. Let's say that's all I have. And I'm like, oh, great. This is going to be a long 90 minutes, right? You know, we just start there. You know, even though I wake up and I can't imagine starting another day on earth because I just don't like my life. Let's say that's the thing. I get people like that, right? And we might just start tapping on that. Hard to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Hard to be here on earth. So we do a couple rounds of that. Then some more information comes. Like you had just said this, which was so great. Like information was coming in. They might say, you know what? And they might describe more of it. Then we'll do a few more rounds. Then I'll say, hey, when is the first time you felt like this? Do you remember? Did it ever go away for a while? You know, things like that. And we'll just keep, because we know there's something underneath that. And it could be all the way back in childhood, or it could just be a few years ago.
I can't help but just point out for folks, Amy is born under the gate of shock, gate 51 in human design. And I love that you are hoping to incorporate human design and already are with EFT, but you're so perfectly suited for this work, Amy, because you took my words and you reflected them back, but they had more of a directness to them. They had more of a, they packed a punch when you said them. And I felt like it reflected back my sentiments, but in a way that really allowed me to be with the full awareness of what I was experiencing. Mm-hmm. So I just want to reflect that back to you. It's like, there's something in the way that you say the phrases where I'm like, yes, that is exactly what I'm feeling. And it almost shocks me into an awareness of what is present without needing to fix it, without needing to shift it. And I think that that's what people need so much is just, can someone be witnessing and reflecting back something, being with it, rather than needing to rush through it?
That's so perfect. Yeah, I think that's kind of the tip of the iceberg is just the first few rounds of addressing the problem, right? The issue at hand. And the person going, wow, okay, I never really said this or felt this way. Then we can start getting underneath it. But first, you're right, it's just kind of hearing it out loud, right?
Yes.
If I may ask, I don't know if you want to do another round or not, but did any other thoughts or feelings come up when we were during that round?
Yeah. You know, I am mindful of doing too many rounds just for folks listening. If we were in session, I would do it many different rounds because I felt the emotion underneath it. And so what I was feeling is the emotion that I had of feeling that fear. And it was almost like I wasn't dissociating from it because I was fully in it, but I was expanding my perspective. So as I was tapping my body, I was feeling the perspective of being passenger. And I was also feeling the perspective of the person driving the car whose car struck ours. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a really interesting thing to almost be floating above the scene or revisiting it and feeling the emotion swirling around of the lives impacted by this collision.
Yeah. I totally understand. So for the purposes of this, I would just say that the next thing I would go into is that fear or like the other emotions or thoughts that were coming to you, maybe about the other driver, maybe your partner that was driving, you know, in going through that next layer. There probably is a lot more emotion there. Totally. And then just kind of letting that come out in that way through the tapping and all those points that we've gone through do relate to certain emotions, right? And very specifically. So it's so beautiful to see those shifting through until you can get to the neutral place.
Totally. Yeah. And it's so cool that we were able to illustrate this for folks listening, because I know that you deal with a healthy level of skepticism at times from folks. But I actually think going through the exercise myself, to me, I'm like, how would it not bring you into a state of connecting with yourself and with your body?
Yeah.
Simply by just being present with it and repeating these phrases of your inner experience back to yourself. Like, it's actually, the technique is quite simple.
It really is. And I love it too. I know we spoke about this when we were chatting before the call, but you know, the skeptics are it's fun, you know, and it's great to just, when someone's skeptical, but open to trying it and open to experiencing it. And, you know, when I'm talking to someone who's maybe a little more into the scientific part of things, right? Maybe not into energy and the chakras and things like that, right? You know, I just, to put it simply, it's like we're dealing with these acupressure points. They relate to this part of your brain. You know, we're going to tap on them. We're going to decrease your stress response. Everybody knows what that is, right? And we're going to calm your nervous system. It's like, okay, it's like, that's all right. That's not too out there, right? Obviously, I mean, there's so much energy in the meridians, or you could get into the meridian pathways and things like that, but you don't even need to do that. You know, so that's what's so great about it, knowing your audience, right?
Absolutely. And I know so many folks that listen to this podcast are already so into, you know, systems that are perhaps a bit more out there or more alternative. But EFT to me, perhaps could originally, I guess my point is that it could be categorized as a bit more out there, but actually going through it, to me, it feels very grounded in just the practical reality of your body.
Exactly. It is very practical. And I think it's something that when done correctly, it works.
Yes. So you did mention a few different perhaps use cases of why folks come to you that I just want to read out loud. And I'd love to just ask you additionally, who is this for? So you said people who no longer want to rely solely on medication, knowing that psychoactive medication can be really helpful and useful for folks, especially folks who have been in this really traumatic state for a long time. It's very useful to bring one back to homeostasis, but perhaps folks who are looking for something in addition to medication, those who've experienced IBS, you said colitis, those who haven't gotten as far as they'd like with traditional therapy, with traditional talk therapy, car trauma, as we just tapped through, perhaps a traumatic birth experience, maybe even ongoing abuse, not just a single event, but ongoing abuse that they've experienced. What else would you add to that list?
Yeah, well, you hit a lot of them. Yeah, definitely. In my experience, people that maybe, yeah, wanted something different, like as far as medication, maybe they're still on the medication. That's fine. I'm not going to tell you to go off of it, right? We're just adding EFT. We're just adding it to it. They might say, gosh, this isn't really working for me anymore, whatever medication they're taking. Or I've done this and I'm not feeling, I'm not feeling any different, right? To get people like that. But most, I have to say, I get a lot of people with, I think you named phobias, like fear of flying. I get a lot of work with phobias, which is really fun because I think EFT can work. It works with the quickness in general, but especially with phobias, because we can usually get to the root quite quickly of where it began. I've done fear of flying for people, and in little as two sessions, they're in the air and it went well. So it's wonderful. And you mentioned the Crohn's and colitis. I do get a lot of people struggling with autoimmune issues. And with autoimmune, you know, I'm already primed to kind of start doing some digging. You know, when did this begin for you? You know, when did your body flare up and start to push back? What was going on in your life? We can usually locate an event, but, you know, with some of these pervasive chronic health issues, I am usually childhood's going to come up. So I'm very much interested in what was going on at home when you were growing up. So yeah, it really runs the gamut, though. There's so much. There really isn't anything that you can't tap on, which is so great. In my experience, I get a lot of like chronic health, depression, anxiety, relationship issues, which is great for that too. It's good for relationships and getting clear on, you know, what is this? Why is my partner driving me crazy? What is this reminding me of? Right? Is it really your partner? Or is this a part of a long-running pattern, right? Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to mention. Just a really amazing quality that EFT has is to get after someone's core beliefs. And sometimes mixed in there are limiting beliefs. So really this work is, let me go after what is underneath this thing that's happening to me. And when you really get down to it, there aren't that many. It's, am I safe? Am I lovable? Is the world a safe place? Am I worthy? You know, it's a handful of things, right? So I'm always interested in getting underneath it to figure out, is there a limiting belief, a core belief that's not true, right? That somehow this person took on. So yeah, this is another like great part of this work for really, really, I'd say big shifts in transformation.
It's really, really cool, Amy. And I'm grateful even the small tapping session we just did, I feel like a shift. There's like a moving of an energy that perhaps felt stuck before. Do you have any examples of clients recently where perhaps you went into the session being like, whoa, this feels too overwhelming? And by the end of the session, it felt really settled.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a recent thing. I know when I was a new practitioner, I definitely obviously feel more capable now, but I think when we start working together and it's about something seemingly simple, like, oh, I'm arguing with my partner, or I'm not getting along, or I'm, you know, maybe having some issues with their partner in their relationship. But as we get into it, we find that there's something bigger there. And let's say it's something like sexual abuse that went on for some years when they were young children. I think that initially it's like, oh, wow, there's this big thing that's being opened up that maybe the person A didn't want to talk about today, B didn't really remember and now is remembering it. Right. Or see, knew it all along and didn't really plan on getting into it. Right. Like there's lots of different things. And I think early on, I would think, oh, wow, this feels like a big thing to deal with right now. And, you know, whether or not they, did know about it, didn't really want to acknowledge it, or maybe are just remembering it in the session. That felt really big. To be sitting on the other side of that. But what's so amazing with EFT is that, okay, I have this tool. We can actually tap through this and keep this person calm when really navigating a very painful memory or memories, right? Plural. So I think now I'm comfortable, but that was one where I think when that would first come up was felt like a lot.
And when something's happening where you're noticing somebody is becoming really activated, are those the moments when you sort of take the break of tapping on the collarbone for some time?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thanks for asking that. I think that if we get into a memory of abuse, whatever that is, could just be even verbal abuse. Because remembering that with EFT, we're relaxing all these systems. So memories are going to come up. They are going to surface. Now, in a good way, right, we're making connections. We're figuring out where, you know, why am I this way? How did this, we're piecing it all together. So we want memories to surface. But along with that is sometimes they're painful. And the idea being that we may take a break. Let's say an abuse memory comes up and this person's like, you know what? I don't think I can talk about this today. This is just too much for me. We may just stop there. And say, we'll do a round on it and say, and just for the listeners, I'm tapping on the karate chop point, even though I can't imagine opening this up right now, because this is just too awful to talk about today. I'm open to looking at it later in the future or something like that, right? But right now it just feels like too much. And I love myself for knowing that. And then tapping through, this is too much. I'm going to the eyebrow. I didn't anticipate this today. I'm not sure I ever want to work on this because it's just too awful. Right. So we're just tapping through the points to talk about maybe talking about the thing. Right. So we're not even, it's kind of like we're up here still. Mm-hmm. Because we're not even ready. Not we, I shouldn't say we, they, the person is not even ready to go there. And that's totally fine. The session, you know, maybe we have to go and try the next session. And it's so guided by the client. It's not guided by me, right? Or decided by me, excuse me. They decide when they're ready. So sometimes we're tapping about talking about it before we even get there, which is very, very helpful.
That's beautiful.
We call it taking the edge off. I think that would be kind of the challenge as a practitioner, is knowing that this is the thing we need to get to. We found the thing, but the client isn't ready, and it does not work to push, right? So you have to wait. And that might involve a lot of tapping, just getting ready to open up the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's super powerful. I'm just getting the visual of someone simply approaching the door and acknowledging that that door exists is powerful enough.
You know, trauma, that word, you know, big T trauma or little T trauma, they'll refer to it. You know, some of these things that happen to us as children, you know, let's say there wasn't abuse or, you know, what we would consider abuse, but there's still some memories that are painful. And as a child, they were interpreted incorrectly, right? Because you can't navigate as well. That can feel traumatic too. So I've had people say, well, gosh, I can't really remember anything, quote unquote, traumatic from my childhood. But it's all through the eyes of the child and how they're interpreting everything around them. So maybe even things like, well, my mom left, let's say in the middle of the night for an emergency. Maybe she had to go to the hospital and there was a babysitter with the person, the child. Well, if they're really young, that might have been seen as abandonment, right? If that child wasn't explained what was happening, they're alone, they don't know where their mother is. You know, memories like that will come up and you think, oh, well, as an adult, you say, well, she went to the hospital because she had, you know, appendicitis or something. But we're going back to how that person felt at that time.
It's really incredible. Amy, I as we wind down this conversation today, I'd love to hear about how human design came into your life and how you envision and are already perhaps pairing these two systems together.
Well, yes, it was your podcast that how I found human design. So I'm so grateful. And I was listening one day, and I'd been very interested in it already and just learning about it. And then, of course, heard that you were having a course and teaching a course. So I was thrilled to be a part of that. And for me, the way that it's paired with EFT has just already been so exciting. And what I love about the pairing of the two is so often people might say, you know, I don't know what's me, like what's my essence, what is my authentic self versus conditioning, my environment, how they were raised, you know, both parents and regionally, what part of the world they grew up in. And so, and then these behaviors that they have or these issues. And so I think it's so fun to look at their chart to really see their gifts and how they're playing out and really saying, okay, this is the essence of you, right? And the conditioning, then on top of that, if you want to layer trauma on top of that, can really muddle the kind of murky waters, right? And you're like, wait, what is the essence of me? What is my on a soul level? And that's how what I love about pulling the human design is, because then the person, they do know. And when you tell them, hey, these are your gifts, they'll say, wow, that feels really right. You know, so I think it just gets them back to their true essence without the stuff that's kind of been laid on top of it, whether just conditioning, again, trauma, painful memories, mm-hmm. events, life. Yeah. Mm.
It's really, it feels like such a perfect synergy of EFT is here to decondition and human design is here to recondition. So in the space that's created through EFT, the gunk that's removed, there's sort of this empty space that might exist. And it's like human design is an inner inquiry tool for folks to get curious about what are my gifts? How might I sort of fill this new amazing space with things that really do feel like me?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been the beginning of that journey, but it's been really fun so far. to start pulling that into the sessions. And people are excited about it. Awesome. I think that's what's so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
So for folks who are really curious to work with you, I have a sense that a lot of people listening are going to feel really inspired by EFT generally, and then you specifically as a practitioner, because mm-hmm. it feels like you're dancing with this system. It really, the way that you pull out these phrases so naturally is you really have a gift. Mm-hmm. So what are the ways that you're working with people right now in EFT and human design?
Yes, yes. Well, I have some exciting new offerings, but if people just want to try EFT, obviously I have single sessions. And then I do have, you can buy a pack of sessions. For people that just have questions and they're not quite ready to have a session, they just want to talk to me, I have complimentary 20-minute consults. And those can be booked on my website, which is tappingfortruth.com. And my new offering is a combination of EFT and human design. And it'll be over a period of 3 months, which will include, it'll start with a human design reading. And then we'll be using a combination of the knowledge of that individual's human design and doing EFT, doing the tapping over a period of 3 months and really diving in to figure out where they feel blocked, what they're here to do, maybe the whatever the problem is, the issue they're experiencing, how can we move through it with the tapping, but also with the knowledge of their human design. So that's my newest thing. So it'll be really fun.
Incredible. I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud of you. It's amazing that you came from, it's funny because as I asked how you found out about human design, I didn't know that this podcast was the very first stop. I thought perhaps was a point in your journey that's so funny and so full circle, but to come from listening to this podcast to now, like, you are so ready in the system and to have the tools of EFT and the many years that you have still as a speech pathologist working, like, that work feels related as well. Like, it's language, the power and the frequency of language.
Yeah. It's funny how language has always been something I'm so drawn to. And I know you had asked earlier, you know, how I had found this. And, you know, as I mentioned, EFT was something I found on a personal journey, just working on myself, but it really was this huge kind of revelation of what was missing with my work in speech pathology, because specifically I worked with people who had suffered traumatic brain injuries. So this trauma piece, or this, you know, really working with the emotions, was so missing from the work I was doing in speech therapy. So it just felt like EFT filled this void. And it was like this aha moment of like, wow, we can work on the emotional system through this like terrific modality. So yeah.
Incredible.
I do love it. Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, Amy, thank you so much for coming on to The Current, for sharing your gifts and your voice mm-hmm. with everyone that will listen to this conversation. Thank you all for being here as you've still listened. Is there anything else you want to add in closing for folks that might be considering EFT today?
Well, just to be open to it. And then I'm here for anyone that has questions, or if they're struggling with a particular concern and they're wondering, will this work for me? I'm happy just to have a chat and talk about it. I understand that it might feel like, oh, I'm not sure I want to try it straight away. I want to talk and ask questions. I'm very similar. I like to research first. It's part of my design. So I'm happy to talk with anyone, obviously complimentary, to chat first. So just knowing that if you're struggling with anything, or if you're wondering if EFT can work for you, I'm here. I'm happy to chat.
Wonderful. Thank you, Amy. You are a gift, and we will be talking soon.
Thank you.